This is IBM, the Islamic Broadcasting Network. The following program is sponsored by the Islamic Media Foundation, sharing the guidance of Allah through broadcast media and the internet.
God is the light, God is the light. How great the wonder of the heavens and the timeless beauty of the night. How great, then how great the Creator. And its stars like priceless jewels, far beyond the reach of kings. Bow down for the shepherd guiding him home.
This is From Darkness to Light.
But how many eyes are closed to the wonder of this night?
With your host, Haroun Shambel.
The dark stream of desires, but like dreams vanish with the call to prayer, and the dawn extinguishes night. Here too are signs. God is the light, God is the light.
Welcome to another episode of From Darkness to Light. This is your host, Haroun Shambel of the Islamic Broadcasting Network. Today we have an interesting discussion ahead for everybody. We're going to be interviewing a brother by the name of Muta. Muta is a Muslim. He was born as a Muslim, and he's been, you know, in the deen his whole life, but he stepped away for a little bit, had to deal with some things, and now he's back, you know, practicing the deen very strongly. This is a brother who's got a lot of positive energy, so I'm looking forward to this interview. So without any further ado, I'd like to introduce the brother by saying assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Alaykum assalam wa rahmatullah.
Brother Muta, it's good to hear from you, man.
Same here, bro.
I'd like to begin by asking you, I guess, the all-encompassing question. Give us a quick, brief breakdown. Why is it that you chose Islam?
Well, I basically feel like Islam chose me. And growing up, I was raised in New Jersey, and my parents was Muslim, but my parents got murdered in front of me when I was 3 years old.
Right.
So I was raised with my Christian grandmother, and all my life running the streets, you know, a bunch of my friends selling drugs, just doing all outrageous stuff.
Mm.
And they would take us to church. I never felt at home at the church, you know what I mean? I just never felt right calling Jesus God. So I just always felt like, I tell myself, I don't have no religion, but I believe in God.
Right.
For years, I was just following that, you know, belief, and moved to California with a brother named Tupac Shakur.
Okay.
When I was 16 years old, because I'm now in the music industry also.
Right.
And, you know, just running around wild, and I basically feel like I felt like I needed a change in my life, you know what I mean? Where I was just drinking every day, smoking, you know, doing just a bunch of just wild every day where my life ain't have no meaning, but I always felt like it was someone watching me, you know what I mean?
Mm.
And I always had a conscience. Every time I do something, I always felt like it was somebody somewhere watching me.
Right.
And, it just basically feel like Islam chose me. I was just in the studio one day with a brother, a friend of mine's name, Mikhail, that I met in the studio. He was a Muslim brother. He said, "What's your name?" And I said, "Napoleon," because that's the group. I'm in a group called The Outlaws, and my stage name is Napoleon. He said, "Napoleon, or what is your birth name?" And I told him, "Muta Wasin Shabazz." And he was like, "That's Islamic." And I told him, "Yes." And he was like, "Salam alaikum." And I gave him salams back. He was like, "I'm Muslim also." And, of course, at the time, I had a drink in my hand and stuff like that, telling them I'm Muslim, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
And the brother never pressured me. You know, one thing about the brothers in Islam, they never pressure you.
Mm.
He was just like, "Okay, you Muslim, take your time." And I kept running it to him in the studio, so, you know, it's nothing is coincidental.
Yeah, yeah.
And the brother invited me to the masjid, so I went to the masjid with him, and I probably ain't talked to him in a couple months, and I had a drinking problem that I was disgusted with, that I, you know, was messing up my business, and I wanted to stop drinking. And he told me, he said, "Won't you try to fast for Ramadan?" So I fast for Ramadan, mashallah, and that just stopped me from drinking and just cleansed my body for 30 days. And, you know, from there on, I felt Ramadan, something during that month of Ramadan just brought me closer to Islam like I never knew. Even though my mother, father's Muslim and my uncles is Muslim, it's like I just started learning and seeing things on my own during the month of Ramadan.
I don't know, man. Let's go back for a minute. Like when you were saying at the beginning, like when you were little, that something happened to your parents.
Yeah, my parents got murdered. My mother and father got murdered in front of me and my brothers.
SubhanAllah.
And that happened in New Jersey. And, you know, they both was Muslim. They had us in an Islamic school when we was young. But then after that, that's when we lost track.
SubhanAllah. And so then after that, you moved in with your grandparents.
Yeah, my grandparents.
Okay. Now, when you, when you were growing up, basically, and you were dealing with this kind of environment where you were just running wild and doing your thing, did you, you had mentioned before, how you said, you always felt like somebody was watching over you and stuff like that. But was there ever, points where you felt like you were like, I need to just turn around my life, you know, or was it a thing where you just kind of, just kept going?
Nah, it was for a while where I would just kept going, and actually, it was like I was suicidal, you know what I mean? It was like I was packing a gun every day, I was driving, drinking every day, and I was, out in the streets, out there in Los Angeles, a lot of gang bangers, and I was just around the wrong crowd.
Just
out there real, real wild. It was a point in my life where I wanted to die, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
After Tupac died, because he took good care of me since I was anybody don't know who he is, he was a rapping actor that got murdered.
Yeah.
He took good care of me, and then that hurt me, too. After he died, then the brother that introduced me to Tupac died a couple months later that I knew all my life, and it was just at a point where I was just like, man, there's nothing else where I wanted to die, you know?
Yeah.
And I felt like, I felt like now that I look back at it, I say, well, it was Allah that was holding me together all this time, because it was times where I wanted to commit suicide. I thought about it and had a gun in my hand and everything.
Yeah.
And it was like something kept holding me on, you know what I mean? And,
yeah.
And like, I'll be telling my wife now that I never ever thought life can feel this great, you know what I mean? I never thought that I can walk around and just be like, I'm happy now, you know?
SubhanAllah. So, When you got involved in the rap industry, right? What kind of outlet did rhyming and that kind of stuff, did that supply for you?
What kind of outlet?
Yeah,
it was an outlet, because that's how I was taking care of my anger. That's how I was controlling my anger with the music.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? It's just like writing, I always come from the heart, and if I had something on my mind or my heart, that was a way to show how I feel.
Yeah.
And it also was like the music industry, if you're not disciplined and strong enough, it's a trap also, you know what I mean?
Right.
So it's like while I'm pulling out my feelings, it's like I was getting deeper and deeper into it, because it's the rap music, you know what I mean? Fast money, fast cars. At a young age, I was around millionaires, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And just out partying all night, and it just trapped me in, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
So it's like alhamdulillah, I came back to the deen now, and I got more stuff happening to me now, like grace music-wise, that now I know the type of music I can do, now I know what's my limits, you know what I mean, now I'm disciplined, I can be in this, I still have guys, you know what I mean, that probably drink, and you know what I mean, that I try to give, that I hang around and I try to give Islam, because I can't turn my back on where I came from, and since I've been on the deen, about 10 of my friends took their shahada, you know what I mean?
Inshallah.
And they knew Muslim, and they, once in a while they probably a drink and go party, but I don't force them, because I know when I first start coming back to the deen, it's evolving, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Everything don't just happen overnight, so I still be around the same kind of cats, and they just see that I don't get down with that at all, and inshallah, one day they'd be on the same level, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It'd be clean.
Alhamdulillah. So what now, now that with this change in your outlook in life and everything, how you, maybe if we can get a little bit of a tidbit, you know, it's on the DL, how are you trying to flip the script on the way that you're dealing with your music now?
With the music, when I first came back, I was saying, when I first came back from Hajj, I was trying to just do, more Islamic, you know what I mean, more too, but when I was going to play the certain song for people, like, a lot of people in the world, if they don't understand something, they scared of it, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I was saying, in order to try to keep my fans, in order to try to get them to Islam, I figure I can still do the type of music, man, where I just don't curse, you know what I mean? And if I slip up and curse, and I ask Allah to help me with that, you know what I mean? Which I want, or I try to do more positive music, though, where I try to do more with... I could say it's still street, but it's more on the street that I say, okay, if you're going to carry a gun, there's consequences. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You can go to jail. You can get murdered. Okay, if you're going to take somebody's life, there's consequences. You're going to have to face your maker. You're going to have to face God one day. You know what I mean? Well, I try to do more music, just let them know where you know what I mean, I'm where y'all from, but it's an answer. You're going to have to answer to someone. So I don't try to force Islam on them. Like the way my music now, a Christian can hear it and be like, you know what I mean, or any other religion can hear it and be like, okay, he's saying God, it sounds cool. Or a street, a person that's not even into God or just from the streets can hear it and still respect it, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I just try to pinch Islam in it, like, slowly but surely, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because I don't want to force it on nobody. I want people to know, like, in my interviews, they say, you're a Muslim, man. They see I still dress like the people from, you know what I mean, from, you know, the streets.
Yeah, yeah,
I still
yeah.
dress a certain way.
Yeah.
I let them know, yeah, Islam is a way of life. It's still fun. You can still be a Muslim and still have fun. You can still be a Muslim and wear jerseys and wear Nikes, you know what I mean? I let them know Islam is a way of life. So
I'm wearing my New Jersey Nets jersey right now, man.
That's right. Because a lot of people see that, man. They see me like, they say, I heard you went to Hodge. Why are you hanging with these people? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I say, what is you talking about, man? These people need Islam more than anybody. You know what
yeah.
I mean?
Yeah,
so I really want my fans to know, okay, he changed now. He don't do none of this. He a Muslim, and it's still like his life is still having fun. Maybe I want to know what's up with Islam. You know what I mean?
I feel you.
So I just try to take it one day at a time. You know what I mean?
Alhamdulillah. All right, man. We're going to have to step away from the mic for a few brief messages from our sponsors. You're listening to From Darkness to Light of the Islamic Broadcasting Network.
In the month of Ramadan, the ninth month of the Islamic lunar calendar, and 13 years prior to the Hijrah, or migration of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, from Mecca to Medina, corresponding to the year 609, the revelation of the Holy Quran began. The Prophet, peace be upon him, had made it a habit to seek privacy and seclusion in a cave just on the outskirts of Mecca, where he would contemplate on the creation of Allah, God Almighty. It was this event that set the wheel in motion for the revelation of the Qur'an, the final message to humankind, to begin. For 23 years thereafter, the Prophet, peace be upon him, continued to receive revelations of the Qur'an. Every year during the month of Ramadan, he would review the revelation with Angel Gabriel, ensuring that what he was conveying to his companions was accurate. Unlike previous revelations, however, Allah vowed to guard and protect the Qur'an from the tampering of people.
How great the beauty of the earth and the creatures who dwell on her. How great, then how great the Creator.
Welcome back. You're listening to From Darkness to Light of the Islamic Broadcasting Network. We've been here with Brother Muta, and he's been talking to us about his journey in life and coming back to Allah. So I'd like to kind of pick up the second segment, and I'd like to talk maybe a little bit about like how in the rap game, it really isn't known, because I think at least it may be known somewhat, but not as much as I think people understand. But how much of an influence does Islam have on rap, like on hip hop and on the culture, and how many rappers really are involved, like are Muslims and like trying to do their thing in the game?
Islam really has a big influence on rap, and a lot of people don't know that, because first of all, a lot of African Americans, especially from the East Coast, New Jersey, New York, and Philadelphia, that's where hip hop like started from. We always having like Arabic names. You go to any hood, you hear it's a Hakim, it's a Harun, you know what I mean, a Muqtaz,
yeah.
a Rahim.
Yeah.
A lot of people, we had Islamic names, and a lot of African Americans started from the Nation of Islam, and you know what I mean.
Yeah.
And came to the Sunni. Did a lot, but it's a lot of hood. It's a lot of people in the hood that got an Islamic background that don't know it, and it's a lot of people in the industry, such as Mos Def, such as Beanie Sigel and Freeway. The rest of peace, Aaliyah. I heard she was Muslim. The singer that died, Aaliyah.
Right.
Eve is Muslim. It's a lot of people that's Muslim in the music industry, and it has a big influence. If I listen to some rappers right now that ain't even Muslim, when I hear them talking, what's up, Aki? They say it in their raps. It's just like even the Arabic words is in a lot of hip-hop, a lot of music slangs, you know what I mean?
Right.
So Islam, and it's a it definitely has a big play in Islam, I mean, in the rap industry. And I see it getting bigger and bigger also. Q-Tip, I can't forget Q-Tip, he also Muslim.
Right. What, in terms of like the way you see things now and the environment that you you operate most of the time, how do you were talking a little bit before in the last segment about like people being kind of pushy and like, you know, questioning you now that you're like trying to practice Islam and, you know, why are you hanging out with these kind of people, this, that, and the nine. What kind of advice could you give or experience maybe you've had, you know, since you started trying to really get back to Allah and wanting to stay balanced? Because that's, I can tell you myself, that's something that I had to deal with, you know. When I first became Muslim, I dealt with brothers that were like, you know, they were good brothers and all that, but at the same time, they kind of like, you know, they had this thing, this all or nothing mentality. You know, and I mean, honestly, though, like a lot of the cats that I used to run with, they basically disowned me after I became Muslim, which, you know, in and of itself took care of it. But the thing is like a lot of Muslims, like they look at you and it's like they want to judge you and whatever. So what kind of like experience have you had with that you might be able to shed some light for, you know, our listeners?
Like, for example, like I said, for example, I'm going to say with the music, like I got some songs that's just positive. It's like the dean, and then I also got some songs for the streets, you know what I mean?
Right.
And some Muslim brothers here, and they say, you don't got nothing to prove, and you know what I mean? They're like, you don't got nothing to prove, and this and this. But I know Allah knew my heart, man. And it was funny, like when I changed, I was getting more people that I used to hang with say, it's about time, then, oh my God, why is you changed? And they was like, man, it was people telling me, I was worried about you.
Yeah.
It's like, I can't believe it, you know what I mean? And it was, like I said, at least exactly 10 strong of my friends took their shahadas. And, like, unexpected after I became on a dean, you know what I mean? And
yeah.
A lot of people see me now and they just be more happy, like, damn, it's about time you slow down, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And even by, you know, it's going to be some people that judge me, but, you know, Allah knows my heart, and that's what really counts most than anything, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
He know my heart, so I figure I don't really have nothing to prove to nobody, man.
Speaking about it, man, I don't know the offhand right now the exact lyrics, but there was a Tupac song that I heard a while back, and I can't remember the name of the song, but he was talking about a friend of his that became Muslim.
Oh, you're talking about I Ain't Mad At You?
Yeah,
Pac was so much, and he was so talented that it's funny because people would be joking over that song, like, it sound like he's talking about you now. When Pac did I Ain't Mad At You, he just made up an imaginary friend, and you know what I mean? He was good with that type of stuff.
Subhanallah.
But it was a beautiful song, you know what I mean?
You had spoke about how he really took care of you when you were growing up in that. Like, could you maybe just talk about, because a lot of the people hear about, you know, his, you know,
negative,
the legend of Tupac
showed,
and, like, what they see, you know, on the camera and all that. But what was he really like?
Man, Pac, like, I always explain to people, he had the heart and the personality, everything of a Muslim, you know what I mean? And he was born Muslim, you know what I mean? And that's the good thing about it. But he was a good person, man. I'm talking about a real good person. One thing about him, he did a lot of stuff where the media, he didn't let the media see it. You know what I mean? There's times he went to visit the sick in the hospital, and if the media was outside, he won't walk in. You know what I mean?
Right.
He'd wait till they leave to go visit the sick, and he took care of me, he took care of my grandparents, like my little brother. He was just a good, helpful person. It's like we used to always say, the lost souls attracted Pac. And I know for a reason, Allah put me and him together for a reason. You know what I mean? I know that for a reason. He definitely helped. He definitely was a good-hearted brother, man. And he wasn't nothing like they portrayed him to be on TV, what the media portrayed him to be. And I think if he still was around right now, he would have been a Muslim. He would have been, you know, a more positive person. Well, he always been positive, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I think it would have been showing more if he would have stayed around.
Yeah, yeah. I remember I read recently there was, I think it was Chuck D maybe or somebody. It was one of the old-school grandfathers of hip-hop who was... He was talking about Tupac, and he was saying that, like, the way that Tupac was flipping his stuff was trying to set people up for change.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like, people would look at him and be like, well, he's talking about, you know, he's talking about all these, like, you know, these gangster rhymes and this, that, and the other. But then he also had a lot of positive rhymes and a lot of the things that he was doing away from the mic and away from the camera. And it just seemed like, you know, he was, like, his plan was cut short.
Yeah,
you know,
I think the Pac plan was, that's what I'm gonna try to do with my music. I think, as we all know, like, you can't go into the middle of the ghetto and just be like, I want you to change.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You gotta let them feel comfortable with you and let them feel that you come from where they come from. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So by him probably putting out the gangster music to get their attention and then put out the positive music, that's what Pac was more on. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He was just basically was saying, look. For those that don't believe me, look, this is a song that, you know, I came from where y'all came from, but we need to get here. Then that's when he put out a positive song. And I think that's what the rule I'm trying to play in my music. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And a lot of brothers probably don't understand. A lot of people don't understand. But like I said, as long as Allah knows your heart and your intentions, then
that's what counts.
You might really have nothing to worry about. And I think that's how Pac was, man. He was really trying to. He really, really, in his heart, was a brother that was down for the change. You know what I mean?
Mm. So let's get back to this a little bit about you again. So now that you're in this situation, like how. Like, when you started, like, really, really getting exposed to Islam again in your life, you know, because people always are going to ask the question and be like, all right, well, you could find good Christians, you could find good Jews, you could find good Buddhists or whatever. But to you, in the end of the day, what is it that makes a difference? You know what I mean? What is it that sets Islam apart in terms of, like, the beliefs in Islam and things like that that's different than other religions?
To me, like, I really feel like I can't compare no other religion to Islam, first of all, because as Islam, we just believe that there's only one God. We believe that we're accountable for our sins, you know what I mean, such as Christianity. I got a lot of family members as Christians where I tell them that I see them. I know I got family members that preachers and would take a shot of wine or take a drink once in a while or sin once in a while. We all sin, but they automatically believe that they got died for their sins, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So they believe it's okay to... Like, they got a mentality, it's okay for us to sin. And as Islam, we got a mentality of we're going to try to stay away from the sin. But if we do sin, we're going to ask for forgiveness. But let's try to stay away from it. You know what I mean? Well, I know a lot of Christian friends that don't care if they sin or not. You know what I mean? And,
yeah.
And I know, I even know a preacher, a friend of mine that told me he don't know one Christian. He's a Christian preacher. He said he don't know one Christian that really walks the walk. You know what I mean? He came to the barbershop, and me and a brother had a long talk. Because when I went to the Mahaj, they had, like, a lot of press reports and stuff like that. And he came, and he was, like, he interested in Islam. He asked me, was I'm the brother that went? We talked for a while. And he's like, being that I'm a Christian preacher, I went to school and all this, but I study. I'm a seeker of the truth. And he said he studied where he found old Bibles that Jesus never once said he was God, the Holy Trinity. And he was even saying he don't know no other Christian that walked the walk. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He said, but I know hundreds and thousands of Muslims that stay true.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
And that's how I think that's the difference between other religions. Islam is the truth, man. It can't be two truths. There's only one truth.
Yeah.
So no matter how good they appear to be, I know something ain't right. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, I feel you. All right, man, hold that thought for a second. We got to step away for a few brief messages from our sponsors. You're listening to From Darkness to Light of the Islamic Broadcasting Network.
Do you enjoy IBN's programs? Do you think it's important for us to be on the air? Support IBN by making a pledge today, $1 a day, to the Islamic Media Foundation. Help IBN programs to continue by making your monthly contribution today. Pledge $1 a day online at www.ibn.net or call us to pledge over the phone at 703-241-9659. Help us continue to be your voice, the voice of American Muslims.
As its mountains pierce the clouds, high above the lives of men, weeping rivers for thousands of years.
Welcome back. You're listening From Darkness to Light. This is Harun Chambel of the Islamic Broadcasting Network. In our last segment here with Brother Muta, I'd like to kind of pick up from the last segment. You were talking about at the end about the difference between Islam and other religions, and we specifically you were elaborating about your experience in talking, you know, with a Christian preacher. And something came to my mind I was thinking about. It's just like the idea of walking the walk like you were talking about. It's like the essence of Christianity is based upon like the belief that you must believe that Jesus died for your sins. Mm-hmm. And what that does in effect, practically speaking, is people don't feel accountable. Mm-hmm. So it's like you can run wild and do whatever you want to do. You can like lie, you can like try to run game on whatever, whoever you want to, you can like, you know, steal, whatever, anything, you know, and mm-hmm. you don't feel accountable because it's like, well, I believe Jesus is my savior, mm-hmm. you know. And it is interesting because I think, and going back to the point you mentioned about what the preacher said about old Bibles where Jesus never said that he was God or to worship him. And it's really deep because there's so many Christians in our country and around the world as well but people in this society that they don't even have a they don't begin to even understand what it means to be Christian.
Yeah.
You know, it happened with my mom. You know, my mom became Muslim about like a year and a couple months ago.
Alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah, man. And like for a long time though, like I've been Muslim 8 years, for a long time, when I first was talking to her, she didn't think that Christians worship Jesus.
Yeah.
You know, and I was like, but you know, when you pray, do you pray to Jesus or do you pray to God? And she started saying the prayer and she was using Jesus's name.
Yeah.
And I was like, so by that means that you believe that he's God. And she's like, but I wasn't raised that way.
Yeah.
You know, and so a lot of people, they don't understand, and it takes them. It's like what you said, though. I think it's a universal thing. It's not just like, you know, in the ghetto. It's like people want to need to feel comfortable with you before you can approach them. And they're scared of what they don't understand.
That's true.
You know, so it's like when people are dealing with Muslims and dealing with Islam, they don't like the first reaction is to like put their fingers in their ears, you know, or cover their eyes and cover their hearts and hope that, you know, they don't get affected by it because they don't know what it's about.
Yeah.
You know? And go ahead.
Like, man, I think it's mostly they don't know what it's about. You know what I mean? And it just takes patience, man. And, you know, especially being in America, because my wife, she was born and raised Christian. And, you know what I mean? And about a couple months ago, she took a shahada.
Oh, no,
I remember this time, so I used to put, like, Islamic tapes on, and she'd leave the house. That's how she was trying to get away from it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Well, I just said, this girl had a seal of her heart, man. I used to pray, and I just try to sit down and basically just show her the Bible, that, and she just started saying that Jesus never said pray to him. You know what I mean? She's seen it herself, man.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, it's deep when you start seeing change in people, man.
Mm-hmm.
All right, we got a few minutes left. What I want to do is I want to ask you, like, for our listeners, like, what kind of advice would you give to any person that is searching right now? You know, that's listening today.
I think if somebody's searching, and especially searching for the truth, like I tell a lot of people, man, if you sit and you pray and you ask Allah, if you don't call him Allah, just ask God. If you ask God to bring you the truth, he will bring you the truth no matter what. You know what I mean? And if they sincerely want to know the truth in their heart and they just ask God and keep asking, it might not come in a day, it might not come in a week, but if you keep asking, he will bring the truth. You know what I mean?
Mm.
And I just say, be patient, man, and just ask God for the truth, and he'll bring it to you.
Alhamdulillah, man. All right, man, you got any closing points? Anything you want to say? Any shout-outs? Anything?
I want to just say salamu alaikum to all the Muslims, all the listeners. You know, thank you for calling me up anytime. Yeah. You know what I mean? And everybody, let's just stay on the deen, man.
Alhamdulillah.
Be all right.
Alhamdulillah, man. So with that, we close out by making some dua. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we ask God to give us success in this talk and to bless people and to bless ourselves and to open all of our hearts and to give us guidance with it and through it and by it and in it. And we ask God to help us and assist us in our lives, to show us truth, to show us guidance, to show us light, and to guide us to it and to protect us from falsehood, to keep us away from it, to show it to us so that we understand it clearly, and to give us the truth. And we ask God to help us in this life and in the hereafter, that on the day of judgment, when we stand before God, that he gives us a clean record and he gives us a pass to paradise. And he helps us all in this life to live good, clean lives and to help others and to help ourselves to get closer to him and to realize who he really is. We thank all of our viewers for listening, all of our listeners for tuning in. And most of all, we thank our guest Muta. And inshallah, we're going to have to get you on for an update in a couple months, you know, and we might have to get your wife on the show and interview her too, you know, and we have to interview those 10 brothers, you know,
that's right.
And, you know, and counting. Brother. Alhamdulillah, man. So thank you so much for joining us, inshallah, and we look forward to talking to you again. In finality,
call me anytime. Call me. I'll put the brothers, my wife, anytime, man.
Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah. So with that, we tell all of our listeners that are people of faith, assalamu alaikum, and all those people who are not people of faith, just remember it's never too late. Please join us for another episode of From Darkness to Light.
God is the light everlasting. God is the light everlasting. God is the light everlasting. God is the light everlasting.
This program has been sponsored by the Islamic Media Foundation. sharing the guidance of Allah through broadcast media and the internet.